In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, at this time of the year of November, when we think greatly about purgatory and the holy souls and indulgences, I cannot help but also think about what happened on a fateful day, October 31st of 1517. Because that day marked the beginning of Martin Luther's rebellion against the Catholic Church. He still had a lot of Catholic ideas when he nailed his 95 theses, topics for debates, if you will, on the doors of Wittenberg Cathedral. He still had a lot of Catholic ideas. He still believed in the papacy. He still believed in the Catholic Church. He still believed in purgatory. But he was beginning to really fall. And actually, some of those 95 theses were legitimate topics for debate because the Church hadn't definitively taught on that doctrinal issue. Some of them. But nevertheless, it was the beginning, you might say the public beginning of his fall. And unfortunately, to this day, Protestants celebrate that day. Actually, they focus on the last Sunday of October. They call it Reformation Sunday. And that is a great misnomer. It was not a reformation. It was a rebellion. That's really what it was, a rebellion. One of the greatest mistakes that Martin Luther made was to reject the church. He should have condemned sin, and it would not have been wrong for him to point out individuals that were teaching false doctrine or leading bad lives. But what he ended up doing is rejecting the church entirely, rejecting the true notion of justification. And he basically told each person, you don't need the Catholic Church to guide you. You pick up the Bible, read it for yourself, and you figure out what God wants you to do. And his topic, or his heresy on justification, was that good works were not required for salvation. It was faith alone. Faith alone, Bible alone. Sola fides, sola scriptura. He could not have been more wrong on those two issues. And yet, how many souls it led astray. And we do not make excuses for the clergy and laity that were living lax Catholic lives. And especially for the clergy, it was a terrible example. They're supposed to be outstanding clergy and religious and giving that good example. And many clergy, and yes, even religious, were leading lax lives, worldly lives even. And that was not going to be an inspiration for anybody. So we make no excuses for that. But remember, individuals can fail. Individuals can defect. That's happened so many times in history. But the church itself cannot fail. If it did, then our Lord would have failed, but that's impossible. So it was such a sad thing to witness in Europe, where millions of people were drawn away from the Catholic faith into Lutheranism, and then Calvinism, and that was mainly in the German-speaking countries, and then Calvinism in Switzerland. Presbyterianism in Scotland, Anglicanism in England, millions upon millions left the Catholic Church. What a terrible century that was. And it was not a reformation. To reform means to straighten things out, to become better. But this was a great falling away into heresy. How can heresy ever be a reformation? But there were consoling things to be seen in the 16th century as well. This was now the full-blown era of exploration. Spain and Portugal especially were going to the far reaches of the world to discover new lands. And so often Catholic missionaries went with them, and they did not go for any purpose of colonization themselves or political power. They simply valued the souls of all these people who needed the gospel. The Franciscans were especially noted for their missionary works, and later on in the 16th century, the Jesuits, the great missionary, St. Francis Xavier, who went to the Far East. They went there for souls. They did not go for gold, for power, for anything like that. It was for the souls of the native people. And we must never forget that in 1531, we're coming up on the 500th anniversary of that, by the way, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared. This is the first Marian apparition that would become renowned in tremendous ways, where millions of people would come. And what happened in Mexico was that millions of Aztec people, when they saw the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe miraculously preserved on that tilma, converted to the Catholic faith. They weren't converting to Protestantism. One number that I remember reading is 9 million Aztecs. 9 million. So millions are being lost in Europe, but millions are being gained in the New World. So all was not lost. The church survived that storm, as the church survives every storm. It will do so until the end of time. One of the things that Martin Luther ended up rejecting completely was purgatory and indulgences, even though he believed in them in 1517. And let's understand the correct idea, since we are going to be working hard on gaining indulgences for the holy souls. What is an indulgence? One of the worst lies ever said about indulgences is that it's a permission to go commit sin. I gain an indulgence, I can go do some sinning because I've already paid for it. Nothing could be further from the truth. An indulgence is the diminishing of temporal punishment. So you could say it's the diminishing of purgatory time. For sins that are already forgiven. But in order to be forgiven any sin, mortal or venial, we have to be sorry for it. So to gain a partial indulgence, at least be sorry for some of your venial sins. But to gain a plenary indulgence, you have to be sorry for all of your venial sins. Now, the church allows us to gain a plenary indulgence only once a day for ourselves. And any additional plenary indulgences we gain that day we are allowed, because of the communion of saints, to give it to the holy souls of purgatory. Remember, they died in sanctifying grace. Their salvation is assured, but they have to be there for days, weeks, months, maybe years, maybe many years, to finish atoning for all of their sins. They're forgiven mortal sins and all of their venial sins. We would do well, my dear brethren, to meditate on this. We tend to take venial sin casually, nonchalantly. It's just a venial sin. It doesn't kill sanctifying grace in the soul. True enough. But are we aware of the debt that we are racking up for every venial sin we've ever committed? And not only that, we will have to atone for our faults, our failings, because they too are imperfections, they're stains on our soul that will keep us from standing in the presence of the all-holy God. You know, whenever we think of purgatory, the holy souls, indulgences, it's a good reminder for us to be faithful in the little things. That will always be a danger in our lives till the day we die. It's just a little thing. It's not that important. But it is by failing in the little things that we end up failing in greater things and greater things, and then greatest of all, start neglecting prayer here. Start neglecting a good work there. Cutting corners spiritually. It's always increasing our purgatory time. And I say this not just to terrify you or scare you, but it's true. God is not only all merciful, he's also all just. Is that not the very definition of a fervent person, that he or she is careful about the little things? I'm not saying this to make you all become scrupulous. But faithfulness in little things will always be part of living the gospel. And we are doing ourselves a favor. We're diminishing our own, or lessening our own purgatory time. So let us take that lesson from the holy souls. If they could only be in this life, they would say, oh, how I would have worked so much harder to avoid sin, to overcome even my faults and failings. How much more I would have loved to have gone to Mass, prayed my prayers, offered works of penance, gained indulgences. And that will always be the easy way for ourselves and for the souls in purgatory to reduce our temporal punishment. So be fervent. Let us all be fervent. Let us help the holy soul zealously. And if we do so, we shall receive mercy like that servant didn't receive mercy because he didn't care about showing mercy to somebody else. We were reminded of this also yesterday in the Gospel of All Saints. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.